First of all, why don't you just introduce yourself to listeners, tell us about your background, including where you grew up and how you came into your current role in politics?
Well, thank you. So I'm a Colorado native. I'm a Colorado son. My family goes back long before there was a state of Colorado, long before there was a United States. That's on Spanish side. We go back to the 1500s. I grew up primarily, however, in Thornton, Colorado.
Okay.
A lot of my family's in the San Luis Valley still, including my dad. He has a house down there. I was the first in my family to go to college, and on our side of the family tree, first to go to college, first to go to law school. I was a civil rights investigator with the state of Colorado for a good period of time before I went to law school. And then after I graduated, I became a civil rights attorney, and that's what I've been doing. Even through the legislature, I still represent people.
You're currently serving your third term in the Colorado House of Representatives. During the 2017 session, you brought forth bills that directly fought against the federal overreach of our present administration. As an attorney, your practice of law has always encompassed a focus on cases of constitutional and anti-discrimination issues. What piece of legislation have you developed that you're most proud of?
That's really tough. In 2013, we repealed a law called the Show Me Your Papers law, which is, it was a law that allowed law enforcement to pull people over who looked like they were undocumented. That was one of my first bills that I passed to repeal it. Also, that same year, we passed the legislation to strengthen the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act. That bill had been languishing in the General Assembly for 20 years, and it never passed. So my first year as a freshman legislator, we got it passed through both chambers. So that was a very proud moment for me.
You recently said at a forum that it's time Colorado has a real street fighter standing up for the state and its citizens. And elaborate on your top three issues that you would go to bat for 100% of the time.
Well, pretty much all the issues I go to bat for 100% of the time. That's what you get in me, is you get someone who is always on the deep dive, going in all the way. I'm known as swinging for the fences at the Capitol, so I never do anything halfway. But, I guess education is an issue, because I know that education funding is unconstitutional. Just take a look at what's happening outside the Denver metro area. We have school districts that are on 4-day school weeks, whereas Denver metro area gets to enjoy 5-day school weeks, right? We know that we have schools in the rural areas that are falling apart, where we're building brand new schools in the Denver metro area. So we have this whole thing that's happening with education funding that the AG's office really needs to take a look at. The other thing is criminal justice reform. I don't know if people know this, but over the course of 11 years, the Department of Corrections budget has increased $300 million. We have fewer inmates and we have fewer staff. So the question is why are we putting so much money in Department of Corrections when $300 million can go a long way for our schools, right? So that's the other thing. And besides that, we over-incarcerate everybody in the state of Colorado. Community and police rebuilding trust is something that I've worked on at the legislature for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And the Attorney General's office is perfectly positioned to take a look at that, because the peace officer standards and training, the post-certification that police officers receive, that's through the Attorney General's office. How do we better train police officers to be not only good public servants, but also good neighbors? There's so many things, such as fracking, and which is happening on the metro area and into my house district, where we need to hold oil and gas accountable for the acts that they're engaging in that hurts people as well as the environment.
I wanted to dive into that a little bit more. You've said you'll fight the industry to protect people and the environment, and that unlike other past administrators, you'll use the power of the office to hold polluters accountable. But be solutions based. How do you envision the state moving forward? How will you propel Colorado toward renewables? And what about the impacts on local economies?
And that's a really good question, because it is about having solutions. It's not just about griping. A good example would be the Martinez bill that I brought this year. So that's Martinez versus Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. This is Shutescott Martinez, part of the Earth Guardians, who sued the COGCC because they failed to consider a rule that he wanted enacted, that when an oil and gas company wants to get a permit for drilling, COGCC must first see if it's going to harm the environment and people, right? And so I codified that Court of Appeals decision that said that Martinez, that's the direction we need to go. And COGCC appealed that to the Colorado Supreme Court. As AG, I'm going to pull back on that appeal, because that is the solution. We need to ensure that oil and gas, before they get any permits, we need to ensure that health and safety and welfare of the public and the environment come first.
Speaking of taking issues to the next level or the fight to the next level, on your website, you state that there's no other attorney general candidate who's done more or who is as committed to furthering the cause of immigrant communities in the state of Colorado. If you were elected attorney general, how would you take this advocacy to the next level?
Yeah, and that statement is absolutely true. I mean, people, particularly my Democratic opponent, he loves to talk about how I'm going to stand there for DACA, right? And it's like, I've been here for a dozen years, never saw you once at any meeting, never saw you once at any march, protest, or rally. So yeah, you go ahead and throw your platitudes out. I've been there, right? So there's a number of things that we can do. Is that number one is that as Attorney General, I can ensure that the administration, the Trump administration, never commandeers our local law enforcement for immigration enforcement purposes. Under the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution, we have that power to tell the federal government to back off. And number two, that if we do have any state or local entities trying to engage in immigration enforcement, I could turn around and sue them just like Javier Becerra is in California against their entities that are trying to help out ICE.
Colorado's primary election is June 26th. On that day, who will you have in the back of your mind?
The communities that are disenfranchised and disadvantaged. I mean, those are the individuals I'm going to be thinking of the most. What will happen on that day will mean so much to those individuals. You're either going to get a candidate running for attorney general who doesn't have any notable track record of fighting for those communities, or you're going to get me, who's been in the fight all this time. That's what's going to be on my mind.
Did you have anything else that you would like to add?
This seat is for the people. This is the people's lawyer. That's exactly how we term the attorney general. And what I need people to do is I need you to fight for your seat. This is yours. It's not mine. It's not Phil's. It's not George Brockler's. It's yours. And I need you to fight for it. I need you to fight for the person who you think will have your best interests at heart. That is so important for people to understand. They need to seize their government back and have people there who are actually going to represent them.
Well, thank you so very much for stopping by CODO today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.